This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Auto Response. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The question this morning is whether this is the beginning of the end for GM and Chrysler. GM CEO Rick Wagoner resigned yesterday under pressure from the Obama administration. The White House said over the weekend the companies did not submit acceptable plans to get more bailout money at this point. The president will outline the latest approach to dealing with the companies this morning. Part of that approach will include a very short timeline for GM and Chrysler to convince Washington one last time they're worth saving. GM has another 60 days to restructure. Chrysler has just 30 days. The administration is urging Chrysler to figure out a partnership with Italian automaker Fiat. With more on that, here's our European correspondent, Stephen Beard.
The task force concludes that Chrysler cannot survive on its own. It's too small and has too many debts. The task force panel says that Chrysler should shed those debts through some form of bankruptcy, and then it should bring on the proposed partnership with Fiat. That, says the panel, would get Chrysler the new investment and the new fuel-efficient technology it needs. If there's no deal, there should be no more taxpayers' cash after a month. A tight deadline, but David Bailey of the Birmingham Business School thinks a merger is likely.
I think it probably will happen. Fiat want to get into the US market. Chrysler offers them a way to do that would be lower costs than Fiat coming in on their own. And I think the two firms do complement each other.
The task force says if the merger goes ahead, the administration should consider lending the $6 billion Chrysler's requested. But that money would depend on concessions from, among others, the United Auto Workers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Major markets in Asia close lower thanks in part to the auto news. Right now, European markets are between 2 and 3% lower. Wall Street had a down day Friday, but despite that, the market did have its third straight week of gains. The Dow lost 148 points Friday, or 1.8%, to close at 7,776. Washington Mutual Bank, or WAMU, used to be the country's biggest savings loan until it collapsed in September. It was the largest bank failure in American history. New owner J.P. Morgan Chase is erasing the last signs of a bank that was around for more than 120 years. Today in California, former WAMU branches are getting their makeover. Amanda Aronchuk reports.
Rebranding these former WAMU branches in California will cost $375 million. Gary Kishner is a spokesperson for Chase. He says one reason it's so expensive is because WAMU did its best to avoid looking like a bank.
It was very much like going into a coffee shop. The people that designed the branches were the same people that designed Starbucks. So it had that same type of retail feel.
Kishner says the new look will be more traditional. Jean-Pierre Dubay of the University of Chicago says Chase has little choice if it wants to absorb WAMU seamlessly.
Washington Mutual's brand is kind of incompatible with almost any other bank's brand because it makes fun of them.
Dubay says that poking fun at stodgy banking did resonate with younger customers.
Their strategy towards retail banking probably had little to do with their ultimate financial failure.
But Dubay says Chase is banking on its conservative, reliable image and hoping WAMU customers realize banking isn't so much fun anymore. I'm Amanda Aronchuk for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
The questions around the automakers will probably quiet some of the emotion around things like the $165 million in bonuses that went to AIG employees. But Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says there's a lot more to be emotional about right now.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan, you say there are more than a dozen programs involving subsidies of billions of dollars from taxpayers to Wall Street. I guess you're talking about everything that's been created since the start of the financial crisis.
Right. If you were to go to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's website, there's a list now of programs that involving Fed lending. There used to be three of them. Now they don't have enough room on the sheet for all of them. So there are 12 or 13 special programs that involve the Fed laying a bunch of cheap money primarily on Wall Street. The FDIC has got several programs where they lay a ton of cheap money on Wall Street, not to go on endlessly about the toxic assets bailout plan, because that was last week's story. But if you sit and read that and do a little math, there's a subsidy probably of at least $18 billion a year to Wall Street involved in that. And I suspect if you could add all of these up and I could keep track of them, it's probably $50, $60 billion a year, which is a lot more than $165 million, or at least that's what I learned in arithmetic class.
Why do you think it's important to bring this up?
I think it's important to follow the money, which is what they said in Watergate. You follow the money. If you're worried about subsidizing Wall Street, here's much more to be worried about. If you don't care, well then you don't have to pay attention. I just give people the option by giving them information, and if they want it, great, and if they don't want it, I don't depend on a bonus to live, so I'm perfectly fine.
So if we follow the money and not the noise, as you've put it, what would we find?
Well, you'd find that a ton of money is going to Wall Street in a probably 15 or 20 different ways. Also, you would discover that the organization that gets the most government money of anybody, which is the federal government, is paying bonuses this year, too. The government's running a $1 trillion deficit, and it's paying $1.6 billion of bonuses. So if you're concerned where your taxpayer money is, maybe is going, maybe you should be concerned about that, too.
Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan. Thanks so much, Alan.
You're welcome. My pleasure to be here.
You can weigh in on this and other things you hear on The Morning Report by visiting marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.